Welcome to the North Street Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. This podcast is an attempt to connect the people of North Street Community Church in Canton, Pennsylvania, with each other and beyond as we interview people and talk about various subjects. I hope this can be a time of encouragement and discipleship as you listen. Enjoy. Hello, welcome to the North Street Podcast. It's Ben Hess.
And Keegan Wright.
And we're here with another guy from the area. We'll introduce him a little later. So Keegan, how's it been going? You doing all right?
Hanging in
the last week and everything?
We're good. Heading into the yellow phase.
Yellow phase, yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
Thank you, Governor.
Yes.
Hopefully people can get together a little bit.
Yeah.
And on the weekends and things like that.
Yeah.
So we've been working on our garden some, and we've expanded our garden because, you know, we're preppers. Well, we're not really preppers, but, you know, we're expanding our garden. Our children are growing.
You're bored.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's our guest. Yes. Yeah. Trevor is our guest today.
Yes.
So feel free to chime in, Trevor.
Okay.
So we have four children, four boys, and our youngest, he can walk and stuff, and he loves to go down to the garden and just, like, sit down there. And a few weeks back, we had gotten a lot of rain and stuff, and our garden was, like, flooded, and it was muddy and mucky. And my wife, Corlissa, was like, you know, keep an eye on Jonas. He's our youngest. And I was like, all right, no problem. You know, make sure he doesn't fall into this big water hole, basically is what it was. And the kids love playing in the water. And I was like, he's fine. And I look over, you know, he's like bending down and like playing in it a little bit. But like, he wasn't doing anything too major. And I kept digging up the garden other places. It's weird how things happen really, really, really fast. But he wasn't even over there. He was walking somewhere else. And then I look over, and all of a sudden, he fell in, like, completely. Like, his whole side was wet and, like, muddy.
And had one job.
Yeah, I had one job. I think I was actually doing two jobs. I was digging up the garden, you know. But he was totally, and he was, like, gasping. Like, and this is deep water. Yeah. Like, he could have, like, definitely, you know, I mean, I don't know if he could have drowned, but he probably could have, I guess. But he didn't. I pulled him out and ran him up to the kitchen, and then Corlissa cleaned him up, which is nice, I guess. Maybe I should have cleaned him up because I wasn't. It's just one of those things. Things happen so fast, and it was just. So I thought I'd share that story, and I don't know why I shared that story, but just because it may be interesting and just shows my lack of. My failure as a father to protect my children and allow them to experience life. So I don't know if he learned his lesson or not. Like, don't fall into muddy holes too quick. But
at least when Dad's watching.
Yeah, at least when I'm watching. But it was funny because he's such a cute kid, and you know, you feel bad for that. But anyway, so enough of my ranting and raving. So Trevor. Why did I say? It's Trevor. Yeah, I might take that out. I don't know. Maybe I won't.
I think it'd be funny to keep it.
Yeah, I can keep that in there. Okay. So Trevor is here, and he's been connected with this church in different ways, and so we're gonna get to know him a little bit and see what he's up to, and kind of sharing different things. Maybe what God's teaching you some, and some different things like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. We typically start off with asking, who are you?
Yeah, it's a very good question.
And where are you from?
So I am Trevor. I'm from right here, this very spot. I'm from Canton my whole life. Went to Canton for high school. You know, I've always lived here. And my parents are Craig and Tanya. And I got connected to North Street once I went to college, when I would come home from college.
Okay.
It's the church that I would come to when I was home. Sporadically, and like over the summers when I was here, it's where I would come. You know, I really enjoyed being involved with, especially the VBS is always really fun, and I really love how all the churches in the area are connected to that.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that. So like, typically with VBS, I don't even know if we're having it this year. I'm not gonna say we're not. I'm not gonna say we are. So we'll see with the coronavirus.
Yeah,
but But yeah, we typically work together as churches, and that seemed to be, you know, a pretty positive thing in the community, and that was kind of cool.
That's definitely one thing I love about Canton, is how all the churches are very well connected. Like, they can put some of their differences aside to come together for something like that, and that's something that I really value. And so
nice. So we support you in some of your
endeavors.
Some of your endeavors, your college ministries, I guess you could say. And so that's another way that we here at North Street are connected to you. So
letters are up on the bulletin board every month or so, or whenever I get around. Sometimes it's a little later than a month, but you know.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Totally
good. We forgive you.
Yeah. There's grace, right?
So another thing, we just think it's interesting a lot of times to ask everybody there, so what was your salvation experience like? Like, how was your first time coming to Christ? Like, what was that like?
It's a great question. And I, you know, over the past year or so, I've kind of been like re-looking through a different lens, you know, my life and my my relationship with Christ. And so you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I think if you would have pulled me out at any point in history and asked me, hey, are you a Christian? I probably would have said yes. I could have told you Jesus died for my sins. I could have told you I believed in God. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I was a Christian at that point. It's just what I grew up with, you know, and it wasn't necessarily a personal relationship for a while. And so I think in order to truly understand my story, I think that the place to start is understanding the big lie that I believed about myself and even about the God and the gospel throughout my life. And so and everybody believes lies because, you know, we have an enemy who plants lies into our lives, and it really affects how we look at the world, how we look at God and everything. And and the lie that I believed for, I would say, most of my life, and it's something I still struggle with today, is that in order to receive love, in order to receive affection or honor, that I have to perform well. I have to achieve things, I have to be good at whatever it is that I'm doing. And before I continue, I want to make it clear that like, I don't think my parents were too hard on me. I don't think that I didn't have like teachers that were very mean to me. I didn't have coaches that were, you know, extremely, you know, hard on me either. I want to make that clear, that it's the enemy who planted this lie in me. And he planted it very young, too. It was like, my parents used to tell me stories about how when I was really young, we'd be playing a board game, and I would see that I was going to lose, and I would, like, clear the board and run away because I didn't want to lose. And so this is something that was, like, has been a part of my life for a very, very long time. And so kind of looking back at that, it affected every part of my life. It's kind of like, If you've seen the meme where there's two fish and one fish says to the other, like, the water's warm today, and the second one says, what's water? Like, that's kind of how it was. Like, it was all around me, and I had no idea that it was there. But, and so it affected every part of my life, especially, like, school and sports and my social life. And so, like, in a school, I was very much focused on my image, and like, I wanted to make sure I was getting good grades, and that I wasn't upsetting the teachers or anything like that. And I, in sports, it was all about being a really good athlete. You know, my biggest sport was baseball, and so I would, I was all about, at that time there were like the different age groups, and nobody at any age group had ever won districts at that point. And so I made it like my goal to make sure. And so when I was 10, we won districts. When I was 12, we won districts. When I was 14, and then my sophomore year, we went to the state finals, which was obviously a big deal. That was something that had never happened before. But the important thing to note is that whole time, even though I'm doing all these things, and then in school, I was like in National Honor Society, I was class president, I was prom king, all these things. But the whole time, I felt like completely worthless. Like, I felt like I wasn't good enough. I felt like I didn't measure up. It didn't really matter what I was doing. I always felt like I wasn't good enough. And so
There was always rung to the ladder.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. It was always, well, once I do this thing, then I'll finally feel like I'm good enough. Right. You know, once I finally, you know, make it to states or whatever, you know, then I'll finally feel like I'm finally good enough. And in my relationship with God, what that looked like is I always was like very self-conscious about my sin. And so I can remember a time when I was in junior high, I watched, I think it was Left Behind, I think, something like that. Uh-huh. And so then for months, I was terrified that, like, the rapture was going to come and I was going to get left behind. Yeah. And that was, like, huge to me. And eventually I broke down and I told my parents about it. And it was, like, a super emotional time in my life. Yeah. And so I can remember that. And now, like, looking back and understanding the lie that I was believing, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I would say all this really came to a T when I got to college. Mm-hmm. And I tried to walk on to the college baseball team.
Oh, yeah.
And so, because that was, like, the pivotal thing of, like, mm-hmm. finally when I can make it onto a college baseball team and I'm playing college baseball, I'll finally feel like I'm good enough.
Yeah.
And I did. I walked on and I made the team and I was super excited about it. I was, like, pacing across my apartment, like, calling my parents or whoever and being like, I made the team, like, super excited. But then obviously that faded away too, because it wasn't enough. I still felt like I was worthless and I was like, man, like, what is it that's finally gonna make me feel like I'm enough? And ultimately, I ended up getting involved with this campus ministry that I now work for, and that really helped to set me on the right track and really helped me to see my life through the lens of the gospel.
Nice.
And so that was very impactful to me. And so I was struggling for a little while because I was on the baseball team with this community that was very different than the community of the...
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Of the... ministry. Of the organization that I've been a part of, and so I was really struggling with identity there too, and so I ended up having to quit the baseball team, and then I got way more involved in this organization, and I think, I don't necessarily know exactly when I finally grasped the gospel, but I think that is when I was at least starting to move in a better direction, and then every year since then, I've grown more and more in my relationship with Christ. It's like every year I look back on the past year and I'm like, man, I was an idiot. I know so much more now and I understand so much more. It was like freshman Trevor, like, man, he was an idiot. Yeah. He had no idea what was going on. And then sophomore Trevor, he wasn't much better. Yeah. But every year I felt like I was growing so much. And even to this point where I look back at my year with this organization and I'm like, man, there's points where I'm like, man, I didn't know anything. But,
so going from that place of performing in order to attain something or to attain a feeling of fulfillment to a place where you're realizing or even, and some of that can come out of, you know, if you're surrounded by people as you grow up who are like really loving the Lord and they're doing things out of their love for the Lord, and in the Holy Spirit, you know, they're doing these works, and you're like, wow, I need to do that in order to be this.
Yeah.
And it's like, God's like, well, hold up. Like, I love you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like you don't have to perform in order for me to love you.
Right.
If you want to, you know, you do things out of this love I have for you.
Right.
And it's a total...
Yeah,
different mindset.
Yeah, and it takes so much pressure off of you to do well. Like, it doesn't necessarily matter how well I do this thing. It's about the fact that, you know, God loves me anyway. It doesn't matter if I succeed or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good analogy for that would be when I was in the state finals for baseball. We were playing. There was, like, the whole town's there, basically.
Yeah.
It's like a sea of red in the stands. And it was a scoreless game up until the bottom of the sixth, and then the other team scored 5 runs in 1 inning. And so it's the top of the seventh. We have, like, no chance to win this game.
Right.
Okay. And we'd made this run the whole time. I might cry. and we get back to the huddle where the coaches are going to, like, kind of talk us and try to, you know, lift our spirits type thing. And as we're standing there, I just see everyone in the stands stand up and they start cheering for us.
Nice.
Even though, you know, we had no chance of winning the game. And it just showed how proud they were of us and they didn't really care if we won or not. And that's, God has used, obviously I didn't see it then, but now looking at it backwards through this lens of the gospel, understanding that that's how God looks at us.
Yeah.
Like,
he's
loves
cheering
us.
For you.
He's cheering for us. Even if we have no chance of winning, you know.
Yeah.
in whatever it is that we're doing, he's still, you know, cheering for us. He still loves us unconditionally, you know, without condition, not because of something we've done. But
so do you think, like, that journey, too, involves this idea or this understanding that you, it's out of your trust that God is enough and that you don't, you're not enough for yourself, but God is enough.
Yeah.
And that because he's cheering, like, that's enough.
Yeah.
Like, I, whatever I do, whether it's so-called successful or not, the measure of success he's measuring is something that's totally on a different plane or a different thing. And, and like, we can just bask in that awesomeness and just be, like, accepting of that.
Yeah,
of that.
And accepting, you know, the work that Christ has already done for us instead of us trying to fulfill something in our own strength. Yeah. And so that, I would say, I don't, like, there's definitely not a specific moment where I'm like, this was my salvation experience. It's almost been more of this process of me knowing and becoming more like
that's
Christ
cool,
over time.
We find that to be often the case with people who grew up in a Christian home, say. And yeah, it's just been interesting talking to different people about that.
See the journeys.
And then also our own journeys with our own children and different things, you know.
Because
it's undeniable that God is at work in us very young through the influences we have of our parents and of our community. And, like, to not be ashamed of that or to not be, like, to downplay our stories in that aspect, like, you know, everyone has a different story, and I think that's cool, like, and that's okay, like, that's good.
I just as you were describing that whole, like, just achievement thing, it just felt like God was showing this picture of, like, you were living like a slave, and it was like and I feel like I understand this because I struggle a lot with that too. Like, for me, a lot of the achievement stuff came out of people pleasing. Like, I wanted to please my parents or whoever. And again, just like you said, well, how you said, it's not their fault. Like, it's it was a lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just felt like God was showing me, like, you were living like a slave, and he's just seeing the freedom you're in now. He's like, that's what I died for like each of us. And it's just really awesome to see. And for me, like, I got to see part of this journey. Like, I remember, like, I've known Trevor, I've known you for quite a while.
Yeah.
But I really started to get to know you in college because I started going to the same college. And it was right around the time we started hanging out a little more, right before you quit the baseball team, I think. And I could see that process happening. I could see God working in that and setting you free. And, like, and it was just awesome to watch, to get to see. And I just got to see little glimpses. Like, I got to see the whole thing. And that just, like, I could just imagine God just being so overjoyed by that, like, seeing the freedom he bought, like, lived out in people. And it's just been awesome to see.
Cool. I've definitely been thankful for God kind of helping me in that process of seeing, because I've been growing in this, but I haven't really been able to, like, see the picture from that point of view until, like, very recently. It's a very new thing that God's been revealing to me, and I've been very thankful for that. And so now, as I'm, like, talking to students, you know, I'm usually trying to find these root issues that are underneath, you know, things like that, these big lies that people believe for their whole lives without even knowing it, instead of just treating the surface issues, because it's easy to treat the surface issues. It's easy to kind of clip these things, but then three more pop up somewhere else, you know, whatever it is that the student's, you know, struggling with, whether it's anxiety, depression, you know, addiction, something like that. You know, I don't want to be about treating those things. I want to find out, like, why is it that you feel like you have to go to this website to fulfill, you know, whatever it is, you know, what are the issues that you, what are the lies that you're believing? Is it, you know, you don't believe that God is enough. You don't believe that you're good enough. You don't believe that, you know, ultimate satisfaction and joy comes from the Lord. And so, that's something that I trust that God has been helping me to reveal to these students. So,
So do you see, I feel like a lot of times people, we feel like we have to achieve this thing. Like, okay, I've learned this now. It's not going to affect me anymore. Like, do you see it come up pop up.
Oh yeah, no, yes, so, definitely. Yeah.
But, so like, how's it? Yeah, how's
that? I have not arrived anywhere. Like, I am not in any. No, right. This is still something that I struggle.
You're
with.
You're not the it's, perfect person.
No, yeah. Definitely. Oh, oh no. No, you still haven't found the perfect person yet. You got to find him somewhere. So, yeah. No, it's definitely something that I still. It's something that I have to, you know, lay at the foot of the cross almost daily, especially in the work that I'm doing. So like, if I'm preparing to do like a talk, or if I'm preparing a Bible study or discipleship or something, I really have to sacrifice of like, this doesn't matter if it's good or not. What it matters is it showing the glory of God? Is it sharing the gospel? It's not about, is this something somebody can take a video of and put it on YouTube and it'll go viral? It's not about that. It's about, how is this advancing the kingdom of God?
Wow.
And so, and that's def, that's, yeah, that's another struggle, especially doing the work that I'm doing to have that point of view. I really need to reorient myself a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I find that to be the case every time I preach, honestly, like, this sounds really degrading on myself, but like, there's a certain aspect that I have to come to and be like, you know what? I'm not that important. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand how important my role is and all of those things, but it's not about me, you know, and it's not about how well I can pull off this one thing or whatever. Yeah. I want to do well because God loves me, like, and I know, like, but
you
I also
care about the people you're talking to, so you want it to be good for them also.
Exactly. But I also understand that, like, it's only the only thing that's gonna stick is if God puts it in people, from me somehow, like, and He uses me that way, and that's okay. Like, I'm willing to be a fool for Him if that's what it takes, you know.
And it's amazing because it's usually in the times where you feel like you did the worst is where God uses you the most. Almost, it's the times where you walk away and you're like, "That was terrible," and then five people walk up to you and you're like, "That was amazing. That was so good."
Sometimes God's like, finally, you got out of the way. No. I think one of the biggest things helped me through this a lot, I think it came from a Skit Guys video, was like, feeling like you let God down in those moments when you don't achieve or whatever. And they just said it so well. They're like, you can't let me down. You aren't holding me up. Like, how can you let me down? You weren't the one holding me up. And it's just, it's really... that's helped me a lot thinking about it. Like, you know what, like, not that I don't care or put any time into things I do now, but it's I can't fail so bad that God can't make something beautiful out of it. Like, He's in the redeeming restoration business, and that takes a lot of the pressure off. And it's also seeing like God's not like looking at you like, oh, you better not mess up here. It's more every time you live in that freedom, He's celebrating. And that's just helped a lot. But so kind of that. So what was your church life growing up? So you said you started kind of gotten connected here later on, but what was your church life growing up before?
Yeah, so I, like I said, I grew up in the church, and so I went through like all the classes and stuff. I was involved in youth group at a time, sometimes at like different Bible studies, like when was it Josh was doing a Bible study at one point? Yeah, I was going to that and the one that I was at. Okay. So I was fairly involved. I went on a trip with my grandparents to Nicaragua when I was like 14. So that was like my first experience doing something like that. So, and then eventually I got involved here. Once I went to college, I kind of wanted to like do my own thing type thing, or be more independent. And so I started coming here for like, it was because I had, you know, I knew you were here. I had some other friends that were here in the new building was built, so I'm like, maybe I'll just try it and see what it looks like. And I stuck around because I really, you know, like what you guys are doing here. So
well, we're not doing much right now.
That's true.
As much as you can, but
are any of
much.
Us though, that's the real question.
God's rearranging some things maybe, and you know, we're just trying to be open to what He has for us in this time, and keep moving forward. But
so so at college, like, for what, so like you can say what you went to college for, and then like what were so you got drawn to that college ministry, like what was some of the key things that you talked about a little bit, but how was some of that journey of just as a participant?
I went to Penn College in Williamsport for plastics and polymer engineering technology, which is a very long way to say that I know how to make just about anything out of plastic. I know like the whole manufacturing process and like the design aspect of it, and like why to use certain materials versus other ones and all these things. So that's what I went to school for. It was a very hands-on major.
Nice.
I loved the experience. I loved the professors. And I was involved with this campus ministry that I'm a part of now. Ever since freshman year. Freshman year, I wasn't as involved because I was on the baseball team, and so that took some time away from that. And honestly, my priorities weren't really that great either. And so, but it was very shaping in my development, in my relationship with Christ, because there were people in there that were very invested in what was going on, and they were very invested in me and in my growth and in my movement towards knowing Christ more and becoming more like Him. And so I had people that were investing a lot of time into me for that. And also, freshman year for me was a very hard transition from college to high school, for a lot of different reasons, one of them being what I was talking about, like struggling with my identity and achievement. Definitely that was a big part of it. And then some other issues that were going on. And so really helped me with that transition. And so then because of that, my sophomore year, I wanted to be more involved with that, which is part of the reason I quit the baseball team. Again, a lot of different reasons for that.
Yeah,
that was a big part of it. And so I became more and more involved, and then I ended up being on the leadership team for the rest of my time there. About halfway through my sophomore year, I was on the leadership team as students, then moved on. But basically, the way it works is like they had a large group meeting once a week where they would bring in a speaker, you know, a local pastor, or sometimes a student would do it, sometimes somebody who worked for the organization would talk, and we would have worship and stuff like that. It was almost like a youth group type thing. And then they'd have like socials around to kind of build the community together, and there were Bible studies, and then like core groups and things like that. So really just a really cool opportunity to come alongside fellow believers who are at the same stage in life as you, and a lot of them struggle with the same things, and really come alongside each other and help you to grow in your relationship with Christ.
So do you have any advice for, like, say I'm just fresh out of high school, I'm just gonna be going to college, and like I don't know anybody, I don't know anything, I feel like I'm in a really exciting time, but I'm also a little bit like scared, not sure, you know, new people, and am I going to be able to make friends? And like, what advice would you give as far as like to somebody who maybe is coming from a church background and they, you know, they're kind of like, I don't know, I want to find myself a little bit, you know, do you have any advice?
I don't have any.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. So first advice, this is going to sound weird, take cold showers.
Okay.
And here's why. So when you take a cold shower, you turn it on and you're like, this is going to suck. Okay. And you're thinking about it and you're like, I don't have to do this. Why am I doing this? Why am I taking a cold shower? And then eventually you get to the point where you finally step in and it's really uncomfortable and you're like trying to get it done as fast as possible. And you're like, you know, moving around, you probably knock the soap off or whatever, and you get out really fast. But if doing that consistently over time, like every day, if you can commit to doing that, what it does is, especially if you do it in the morning, you're starting your day choosing to be uncomfortable. And that uncomfortability is where you grow the most. And so if you can train yourself to be okay with being uncomfortable, that's super important, because that's something I learned, especially if you look at my college career as a whole. You know, my first year, I was like, man, these are the things that I want to be doing, but I know I'm not there yet. But it was just like these little steps over time where, like, if you looked at me senior to freshman year, you're like, wow, this is a completely different person.
Right.
But what you didn't see was all the little steps in between that got me there.
Yeah.
Those little steps of being uncomfortable and trusting God in whatever area that was. And so I would say that's a huge part, especially when you're making that transition, is be okay with being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So, that's really good.
Yeah. Especially like for me, pretty much everybody else there is uncomfortable too, whether they look like it or not. So
Especially like the time that we're in right now, everyone thinks that they're awkward.
Right.
most of the time you're not actually awkward, you just think that you are, right. But also know that everyone else also thinks that they're awkward. Yeah. Okay? Exactly. So we're all just this awkward jumbled mess that we're kind of mushing together. But
yeah. Sometimes I find it helpful if you just talk about the awkwardness, it kind of sucks the awkwardness out of the room.
Yeah.
Like, I see you. You're here. And it's okay.
But so
yeah.
Nice. So that's like one piece of advice. But
yeah, so then kind of that community like drew you in, you want to be more involved with that college ministry.
Yeah, and everyone was just super supportive of each other. Like I'll give you an example. This year there was a freshman who came in and he was struggling, you know, this was before they changed the tobacco age to 21 because of things like this. He had a nicotine addiction to He was juuling, you know.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. I forget if he probably started in high school or something, and he put on the men's Facebook page like, "Hey guys, this is something that I want to quit. Like, I'm gonna bring all this stuff to the meeting tonight, and I'm gonna throw it all away, basically. And I want you guys to be there to support me," type thing.
Wow.
And so at the end of the meeting, I gathered all the guys in the back, and I explained what was going on. I was like, I said, something along the lines of, every once in a while we realize something that has become a hindrance to our relationship with Christ and knowing Him more. Mm-hmm. And this young man, he decided that this was something that was creating a barrier. That's the word I was looking for, a barrier between him and Christ.
Yeah.
And he wanted to eliminate that barrier in order to grow in his relationship with Him. And so, and I told them, like, we as men need to be supporting him, and we need to be helping him grow in this area and helping him to grow in his relationship with Christ. And so I encourage them, like, if he comes to you and tells you that he messed up and that he went, you know, he went back to this addiction, you know, you are to
beat him up, right?
Oh, yeah, God. Yeah, yeah. So oh, yeah. We take him out back, we throw him in the fountain. Yeah. No. You are to be, you know, we are to be a good, you know, Christ-like example to him, and to point him in the right direction, which is to Christ, and to keep him accountable, but also to show him the grace, you know, 100% grace and 100% truth that Jesus gives in a loving and Christ-like manner. And I told them, like, you know, this is something we should always be doing as men, as believers, as the church together,
right.
As something we can be growing in. And so things like that were just, like, amazing, the community aspect of that. So so
just to kind of echo some of that community that organization had, that they did a great job of. So I attended there when I was at college too. Like, I think I went with you the first night of the semester, the first time they did their meeting.
Yeah,
my first semester, I think, or something like
something like that.
You took me there. Yeah, and it was yeah. So you said a lot of people in the same stage of life and stuff, but they also did a great job of, Charity and I were not in the same kind of areas as everybody
else. Married at this
point. We were
married,
had a kid on the way, and they still did a great job of, like, welcoming us in. And so, yeah, it was cool. We always loved this college ministry. Like, it was awkward at times because, like, especially when Nadia came along and we're the only ones with this, like, little kid. but they welcomed us anyway. It was just awesome. I think you'll find a lot of openness there. And so, yeah, take cold showers. It's okay to be awkward and go to those things.
Yeah.
So.
And also, I think, you know, to answer the question too about what else can the high school students do that are on their way to college, I think it's important to remember, like, so what we were doing for the organization I'm a part of is not a church.
Right.
That's very important. We would always say, we don't want this to become your church. We want to be involved in a church outside of this also. Because, you know, it's very good to have all these people who are going through the same things, you're the same age, so you connect really well, but it's also very important to be getting other points of view too, and especially, like, from a pastor, from older people that are more experienced and have different experiences. It's important to get that too. Mm-hmm. And also, it's important to be serving in the church that you're a part of, you know, even if you're in college. Mm-hmm. Let's say you go to Shippensburg University or whatever, and you're there, it's important to be involved at a church and be serving there, because because the gifts that you have that God has given you is for the church. It's not for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to be using those gifts. And you might be sitting there thinking like, you know, I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. I don't know where my giftings are. It's like, well, try something and then you'll find out, you know?
Take cold showers.
Yeah. You know, it's you could be like, I don't know, I've never been a greeter before. I'll try being a greeter. And then you find out you're terrible at that. So you're like, all right, let's try something else. Yeah. Let's try kids ministry. Let's try, you know, I can fold the bulletins and then put them in the seats something like that. Like, and you would be amazed at how thankful like your pastors and elders will be at that church.
I find it interesting because sometimes I feel like we stress so much about finding what gift we have. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like, you know what? Just be there. Mm-hmm. Just stay there. Mm-hmm. Just be with other people.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. Yeah. Like, and the important thing isn't that you figure out what spiritual gift you have. The important thing is that you're actually doing something.
Yeah.
And because you will find out, oh, I'm doing this and I didn't even realize this was a spiritual gift.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so a lot of times I think people function in a spiritual gift and they don't even realize it. I'm not saying it's not important to understand what it is, mm-hmm. but just sometimes I think we stress too much.
Yeah.
Maybe over that.
Yeah,
and
we
then,
take these tests to try to figure out who they are. And then you're like, I don't know, that doesn't seem to fit. And then you're like, I don't even know how I can use this in the church. And then, but eventually, if you just start serving, you'll find out what those gifts are. And and usually it's from other people telling you, like, hey, you're really good at, like, encouraging. Or, like, wow, like, you did a good job of, like, teaching that Bible study or something like that. A lot of times we're completely blind to them. That's something I've found in my experience of working with this ministry. I always thought my gifts were more of like teaching or wisdom or something along those lines. But then as I'm going through this year, I'm getting encouragements of like, you're really encouraging to me. I love talking to you. Things that. Mm-hmm. Things that I never would have guessed are my spiritual gifts. Cause I think I'm awkward, you know, like we said. And so, and so that's something that I would also say in terms of spiritual gifts, specifically for like college age, you know, when you're really starting to get into the real world and whatnot. Really pay attention to the compliments that other people give you, because a lot of times you'll completely miss it. So,
I think just going back to the, like, getting involved in the church, like, I think a lot of people think, well, I'm not going to be there very long, so like, I shouldn't get involved, but do it. Like, I can't express how much gratitude I have for I don't know what I call them, but college students just coming back through for a month, for a couple weeks, like, and we just, from the work, like, I give you guys the opportunities to use your gifts, and it's been huge for the church, for the youth group. Like, I've loved that. Mariah here, maybe we'll have her in sometime. She was here for like 3 months and just did a huge, made a huge difference in the youth group and stuff like that. So don't be afraid to plug in at a church, even if you know it's for just a very short time.
And that's something that I wish I would have known at the beginning of college, because I wasn't really super involved in the local churches that I was going to during that time. And so, that's something. But especially, and it's also important because eventually you're going to graduate, and most likely you're not going to live in the town that you went to college in. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But at the very least, you'll know how to get plugged into a church on your own, wherever it is that you're moving. So let's say you go from Canton, you've gone to North Street your whole life, you move to Shippensburg, you go to school there, and then you start to get involved in a church, something you've never had to do before because you've always gone to the same church.
Right.
But you learn how to be more involved, you learn how to get connected, and then eventually you get a job in Albany, New York, and you move up there, and then you can do it all over again because you've already done it before.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
that's a good point. So, what's the future, Trevor?
What's the future, Trevor, look like? Yeah, that's a very good question. Yes, let's see. How do I answer this? So I have been given an opportunity to go overseas next year. It will be in the 1040 window. So, like, discretion is key.
Okay.
Not being super upfront about exactly what's going on, but
So more like a mission type thing. I mean, I guess what you're doing now is mission, but just in a different,
in a different context, in a place that's very spiritually dry, or spiritually dark, I should say. Less than 1% of the population is Christian. Yeah, I'm not exactly how much I should say that's going to be posted, but
no, that's
you
fine.
Know, if you have my contact information, you can definitely reach out to me and find out more about that, and I can share more, or you can...
And people can donate?
Yes, people can donate too, that's awesome. Yes. Or partner with me, as I like to say, partner with me for the sake of the gospel, so...
Yeah. So what are some things that you feel like you're maybe a little bit... Are you... at all fearful, or maybe not fearful is not the right word, but
anxious
about.
Yeah, I mean, the state of the world right now makes things a little, it's on thin ice, you know, like who even knows what the world's going to be like when I leave in like around at the end of the summer.
Okay.
Who knows what it'll look like at that point, you know, how much is going to change, especially overseas. So that's what I've been thinking about a lot, but also just the fact that I'll be living in another country, in a new culture that's completely different than my own, for a year. And so that is something that, like, I'm looking forward to it because I love learning about new cultures and learning about people's experiences and things, but it's also like, I don't want to offend anybody, you know, living in a country where I don't speak the language at all and trying to figure out how that works. Like, it's going to be stressful. I mean, Keegan, you've done this before. I'm sure you can speak to that.
Yeah.
And so there's like the high point where you're like, this is so exciting. And then you drop down and you just feel like, I just want to go home. Yeah. I just want to have a burger from McDonald's. Right. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So, I think knowing that that's going to happen is kind of helping me. I think that will help me in the process, but that is something that, like, obviously is going to happen. So
nice.
Yeah.
So, cool. That's interesting. Yeah. I wonder too, for you, I was just curious. I mean, we've talked a lot about your identity and just different things like that, but is there anything related to, like, specifically coronavirus, I guess, that you feel like God is teaching you in this time? Putting that out there.
Yeah, that's a good question, very applicable. I think something that this time has shown is where I find my comfort. And so, like, right now, everybody's home, you know, everybody's kind of not going anywhere. And so it gives us a lot of extra time to spend with the Lord, you know. You know, it's kind of like if you've made all these excuses before of like, oh, I don't have enough time, you know, I have all these things going on. It's like, now you're home, you have a lot more time. And it's amazing how much we still don't do those things, you know. It really shows that that's not the problem. It's not a problem of I don't have enough time. It's more of this isn't a priority to me. And for me, it's really shown where I find my comfort, like, in times when I have all this time, I usually go to Netflix or YouTube or something like that instead of doing the things that I should be doing. You know, like Paul says, I do the things that I don't want to do and I don't do the things that I want to do. and so, yeah, I think it's really shown that essentially I don't believe that God is enough. Like you said that earlier, that I feel like I can find my satisfaction or my fulfillment or my joy in other things besides God, and it's really helped me to have a better perspective on that and praying that God would change that in my heart, because especially working in, you know, ministry and doing the things that I'm doing, it's very easy to think like, oh, I'm preparing for a Bible study, so I don't need to worry about doing my own quiet time. Right. Or I'm preparing for a talk, so I don't have to think about this.
Yeah.
It's a very easy trap to fall into, because it's wrong. Yeah. It's definitely wrong, because you need to be growing in your own relationship with Christ and in becoming more like Him. And so, yeah, I'd say that's a big thing that I've been learning during this time is really seeing where my heart is oriented, and kind of God's been revealing that to me. And I'm like, oh, that's something that I... like need to work on. Definitely. Nice. Yeah. What about you guys? You guys could learn. I don't know, maybe you've talked about this in a different podcast.
We've talked about this a little bit in different podcasts, but yeah, I think, I mean, I feel like I'm learning a lot. And it depends on what you mean, you know. Is it family life? Is it church life? Is it just my own spiritual walk with God and how that what he's been working on. Definitely one of the things I feel like lately that I've been, and I've talked to Keegan some about this, is just kind of like the amount. So, you know, we don't have services on the weekend, and that has really changed for me understanding, like, why do I get so uptight when I'm planning a service on a weekend, you know? What is it? Like, what am I performing, or like, what am I looking to that makes me so stressed? Am I looking at everybody's opinion, or what I think they're gonna think about me, or that I'm not preaching well enough, or that, you know, all of these different things. And I'm not saying, like, of course, whenever you're involved in something, it's gonna be, you're gonna have some stress related and that kind of thing. Like,
natural.
That's natural. But yeah. But why, you know, it doesn't have to be so excessive. And so, yeah, trying to sort some of those things out for me has been a big thing during this time, and just self-analyzing, you know, what do I
care about?
Yeah, what do I really care about? What do I, yeah. So that's definitely been one area I've been thinking a lot about, and trying to, you know, as we move forward, I hope we can start up again on the weekends, but, you know, how is this experience going to change me? Mm. And like being okay with God teaching me that, you know, and not just going back to normal, so to speak. Mm. I mean, yeah, we want to go back to normalcy on different levels, but also taking what we're learning, taking what God's teaching us.
And leaving it in the quarantine.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah, coming out of it and saying, you know, this experience has changed us in some ways for the better, hopefully.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. There's been some of that I've been dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah, I think a lot for me is God was showing me times I was just trying to, most of the time, just trying to survive it. Like, okay, you know, like you're talking about, just leave it in quarantine, which it went away, but just survive it, and then we'll get back to normal.
Yeah.
And it's, well, that's not right. What's God teaching in this time? And
yeah.
I think a lot of it is priorities. Like, again, like you said, we have all this time now, and then we still don't do what we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. So our heart's not with him, really, and in certain ways. And then a big thing is, like, what are you putting your identity in? Mm-hmm. For me, it's like a lot of things. Now I put my identity in a lot of things I did. So then when a lot of things you don't do anymore, it's like, who am I? You get a lot of anxiety of, like, I don't even know who I am, because I'm not doing youth group on Wednesdays. I'm not doing, like, all this stuff. Like, who am I? And it's just a good time. God, there's one little thing at family life. Someone said, it was one short little blip about, are you focusing more on what you're doing for God than on who you are, basically talking about leadership, of just of being a disciple rather than doing disciple things. And there's a huge difference there. It's like God can do a lot more with just you being his redeemed child than doing all these things. Trying to learn those lessons.
It's cool to see what God's doing, and just out of our different experiences, you know, and I think that's the spirit at work within us and for God's kingdom, and as he continues to expand his kingdom, and every one of us plays a part in our own different way, and just being attentive to that, just being attentive to what is God teaching us right now, you know?
Yeah.
And that's important. Do you have
anything else you want to share, Trevor?
No, that's everything that I had planned, I guess.
Yeah, that's great. Right. Thanks a lot for coming out here. And,
yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
I would say it's been great to be here, but, you know, this morning I got up to go on a run because I decided during the quarantine I didn't want to get the quarantine 15.
Right.
And so I've been working out.
Yeah.
And I got up this morning to run, and I was, like, stretching and warming up, and I see these white flakes falling from the sky. Yeah, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. It's May, and it's snowing in Canton. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, been great talking to you guys, though.
No,
I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks. Thanks for being here.
Yeah,
thanks for coming out.
No problem. I loved it,
And thanks for the work you're doing. I think, just hopefully we can be an encouragement to you. And as, like I said, as God continues to expand his kingdom and we get to be a part of this really special, awesome thing, you know, in every one of us in our own ways, it's so much fun to see that.
Yeah.
So keep at it. I don't know if you have any parting words.
Yeah, no, thanks for
I can pray. I'll pray this time.
Yeah, and, go ahead.
And then we'll go from there. Lord, I thank you for just bringing us together and that we can share life together, share what you've been teaching us, and just ask that you would continue to walk with us as we continue to walk with you and on this journey, and just be with Trevor as he continues to minister to many people, and as he just walks this life and just seeks you and seeks what you're doing for the world. Lord, we desire to see your kingdom come, and we look forward to you continuing to do your work and using us as you see fit. So be with everyone listening. Just ask that you would also impress on them ways in which you are working through them to impact your kingdom in this world. Thank you for your love and your peace, and we look forward to what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right, I guess that's it. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, see you. All right.